It's time for Declare Your Independence with Ernest Hancock.
Believe me when I say we have a difficult time ahead of us. But if we are to be prepared for it, we must first shed our fear of it. I stand here without fear because I remember. I remember that I am here not because of the path that lies before me, but because of the path that lies behind me. I remember that for 100 years we have fought these machines. And after a century of war, I remember that which matters most. We are still here! Tonight, let us make them remember. We are not afraid!
Concerned here on Declare Your Independence of me, Ernest Hancock, here in Phoenix, Arizona, from the BEA beautiful studios of Freedoms with an S, freedomsphoenix.com at the farm. Yep. We got all the, you know, a bunch of bugs in the backyard, do irrigation, there, chickens all over the place, taking care of business. You know, I like this, letting nature do this thing. Heck, we even let the chickens in the garden a little bit and there get the bugs. Oh, yep, bugs first, then you don't get to eat the fruit. Take them out. So this is, you know, it's working out and we're getting ready and we're sharing and doing a lot of videotape. And that's part of what we're going to be doing in the August edition is all about prepping. You know, I mean, you can call it what you want, but it's, you know, getting ready for. And we'll have some videos and everything that'll be exclusive to subscribers because we can. Now, we're going to be talking more about China. And in the first hour, we did a lot. RT had some good stories. Where else? I mean, I'm looking all over for this stuff. RT was the only place that was interviewing anybody and getting guys like Jim Rogers saying, here's what's coming. So we have a couple videos we've done. We got one more that we'll do throughout the second hour here that to give you an idea of what's being discussed right now in Washington between China and Russia, China and the United States on what they're going to, tell us they're doing. And it doesn't matter. It's already happened. You know, we just had, last week to find out that China has divested itself of U.S. Treasury bills 97% from, you know, March of 08. You know, I mean, it's like they don't have it anymore compared to what they had before. They're not rolling it over. Well, they got all other kinds of stuff going on. So we'll find out what's happening. We'll get some expert in here next week and kind of dissect it after the fact. Because, you know, it's always ouch, quit it and BS and everything anyway. Yeah, while it's going on, then you'll have them come out and, you know, the Chinese guy will stand there at his podium and the U.S. guy will stand at his podium and say blah, blah, blah. And then Russia Today will say what they said and it's all doesn't matter. And then all of a sudden you look at the market and it'll tell you what happened. And on Freedoms Phoenix, that's where we get a lot of good stuff there. Jack Gregson does a really good job pulling out the stuff from the, you know, Market Ticker and Zero Hedge and Whiskey Gunpowder and a lot of play, you know. Doug Casey's group does a lot of good stuff. Bonner, Bill Bonner, Asim Wiggins. These guys, man, we got going on Freedom's Phoenix. Tell you what. Now, the one thing I did want to point out is that Janet Napolitano made, you know, there is no single portrait for what we, the government, have to contend with. You know, the Patriot Act is not about protecting the American people from terrorists. It's about protecting the government from us. I mean, if you haven't figured that out before it even passed, man, we knew what was coming. So here's what she had to say. She added in her at NYU, where she's talking to law school there, saying, no, everybody's got to be a snitch. She goes, that there is no single portrait of today's potential terrorist, citing recruiting tactics, including hip-hop videos, if you can imagine that. Oh, and naturally cyberspace, which has come under the control and dominion of the Air Force, cyberspace. Well, you can just count on that's the Air Force thing. Each of the four out of Pentagon and so on, here they come and after you. Each of the four key ways that she stated as critical to Homeland Security's mission will widen the Stasi-style network of unpaid employees of the state virtually deputized to spy on their neighbor in the private and public sector and issue reports to DHS Federal Security Matrix. Let me tell you one thing that I recognize as being, you're going to hear a lot about it in the future. It's called InfraGuard. What InfraGuard, infrastructure guard, whatever. It was the FBI, voluntary, of course. We're having all these meetings. We're having the industries come in. We need a liaison from the utility of this and the local Arizona Public Service guy and the Salt River Project guy and the whatever equivalent is of the Energy Department of the blah, blah, blah in California. All these states different than these private. And they're kind of this private-public kind of monopolized. You get easements too and whatever. They're intertwined with the government licensing so much, can't tell difference anyway. But you have all these utilities that are autonomous, certainly on their computer and their control structure, their grid and so on. This was outside of the government, certainly a lot of it. And they said, no, 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 no. We need to collectivize it and put it under you run our own antivirus software. It's kind of, you must install Norton. Yay. So that's what they were doing. It had these meetings, and I knew it was going to evolve into, it would be nice, and wouldn't you like, and then we'll give you this free service, and then we'll, you know, and you get extra bennies or considerations if, and there gets to the point that you have to. And that's where we're getting right now. They are taking all of the utilities and putting them under the control of Homeland Security under this program called InfraGuard. And if you do the, you know, because I, Sierra, go and pull up some of the old archive InfraGuard shows that I did and put them on today's archive. Can you do that? Thanks. So she'll have that up there and you can listen to these shows back when it first started in 04 and so on. I'm telling you, these are good shows because we saw it in the beginning. We're going, oh, I see where this is going. They had some people on talking about it and so on. So this is going to evolve into all of your utilities are going to be at a switch of the government. Now, remember, you don't think so? What have you been hearing lately? They want to have the ability to control your thermostat. Remember? How do you think they're going to do that? Well, InfraGuard. This is it's a mentality. It is total control. It'll work if we can control everything. See, it didn't work because we didn't control enough. Well, you know, we got all these controls and things that we said we wanted, and we're going to make society better, and you're going to have and live, and we all, you know, kumbaya, and everybody will have a redistribution of everything. We're all better off and cuss. And then they get it, and they go, yeah, it didn't work because we didn't have enough control, so we need more. All right, this is where it goes. This is how it happens. So then we go, all right, what's some of the other stuff going on? Now, it links, and Sierra's going to have it up here in a little bit. You go to Freedom's Phoenix. 10 indications the United States is a dictatorship because that Janet Napolitano thing kind of linked from there from the Lou Rockwell article, and I thought it was a good link, and it has, you know, you want to know why we think it's bad? Well, here is the list. Now, here in Arizona, and I'm sure this is going on around the country, we have Arizona governor calls a session on jobless benefits. Now, remember, the bailout for the state, some of the quantitative easing and the package and the stimulus and all this other blah, blah, blah has expired. They're not getting another monthly check here in Arizona, as from my understanding. You know, that doesn't mean they don't have some other goodies. Because we found out another slush fund, 4409 did a video on this, was really good, that our governor, and I'm sure other governors, has, it's like a grant. It's a special, you get just an account. You can spend it any way you want. And it's used to entice legislators to fund and do and create and whatever, no matter how much they oppose what Jan Brewer's doing on, say, immigration or business or taxes or whatever, you know, it doesn't matter. She's got a whole big giant slush fund over here to do what she wants with. So you start asking, you go, this federal government bribe payoff, you got money. How does that work? None of your business. All right. That's going to be coming out more and more and more because there is a bribe to the states to get them on the plantation. So there's all kinds of deals, and they do this in foreign. You think foreign policy in these other countries are any different in how the federal government treats the individual 50 states? It's exactly the same thing. You know, we'll get more on that, but she's called a special session to extend jobless benefits, unemployment benefits. Because if they don't, oh, they go to the street. That's what they're afraid of. Will they extend it? I don't know. We'll find out, but you know what they want to do. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit.
Freedom's the answer. What's the question? You're listening to Ernest Hancock.
It ain't so groovy when you're screaming in the night. Let me out of this cheap B-movie. Headlong down the highway and you're rushing headlong out of control. And you think you're so strong, but there ain't no stopping and you can't stop rocking. And there's nothing you can do about it.
Yeah, there's something you can do about it. You can understand it. But there's nothing you're gonna do to stop it. Here we go, headlong down the highway. Ooh-hoo-hoo-hoo. And it's gonna whiz right by you. You can stand off to the side, run you over, or run with the herd, or get above it, or something. Because man, what's happening is happening. Nothing anybody can do to stop it. Now, some of the things that's going on, we'll finish up on this special session. They always wind up doing kick the can down. They didn't do it in the budget. They didn't have it part of this last session. Special session, bringing the legislature back. We're going to be working on jobless benefits. So was Governor Jan Brewer here. You know, blah, 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 blah. She announced late Wednesday that special session would begin Friday morning today. Extending benefits for the unemployed is the right thing to do for our local economy and for Arizona families, she said in a statement. A recent dip in the unemployment rate sets the stage for the federally funded extended benefits to end this week unless lawmakers act. Brewer spokesman Matt Benson said the goal is to have the session done in one day, and he said Brewer's office believes there are enough votes to pass the proposal. However, what will happen during the special session is unclear because some legislators don't support Brewer's proposal because some legislators may not be available to participate. So, you know, and this is from businessweek.com, and you know, what's going on here locally and what they're saying nationally, you know, not necessarily the same thing. And I always wait till after. I've learned a long time ago being involved in the legislature. I mean, you actually go down there, you fill out your card, you do your thing, you cover it, you speak to legislators. You know, when they get into their session, when they have their hearings, they open it up, they have their guys already lined. Decisions already made. It was done a long time ago. You're wasting your time worrying about it. All of this is already baked in the cake. Over. Done. Finished. So, what do I do? No sense in me trying to make, you know, give them their platform, their blah, blah, blah crap. I wait till after it's done. Then I'll go, all right, what'd you do? Tell me all about it. Oh, why'd you do that? Why'd you do that? Okay, good, cool. We're done. We understand what's going on. To think that you're going to have some kind of alteration of this kind of thing, all of the best you can do is to educate yourself and understand. It's already baked in the cake. It is over. There is, we had week ago Saturday, we had the Arizona Breakfast Club for the month of June. Karen Winfield is an aide to one of the senators there. And we're talking and so on. And I turned to her at one opportune moment and I said, and tell legislators I know. They're broke. They're done. It's over. They're kicking the can. It's all going to come imploding. Municipal bonds is going to hit. This, that, done. I know. Just waiting. And then yada, 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 yada. All they want to do, it doesn't make any difference. We're broke, and they're going to be screaming for some kind of federal government bailout. Just print us some more money. This is a certainty. So how do we react to this? Well, we know what it means. It's very simple. Somebody will ask. I asked a prominent individual that, you know, they made their gazillions of dollars understanding what's real in the economy. And I go, I just need to know, do you really think there's going to be hyperinflation? And he said, real simply, goes, Ernie, answer that question is real simple. All you have to know, do you think government's going to stop spending? No. Well, there's your answer. I'm going, good enough for me. I mean, because that's what it comes down to. Are they going to stop piling on the debt? Increasing our debt, indebting the future. Are they going to stop? No, until they can't do it anymore. What causes that? I have no idea. The Federal Reserve just keeps buying our debt, monetizing the debt. They say, well, this time we're not going to. Yeah, they are. Because if they don't, all of a sudden these banks, everything, all this stuff's insolvent, done. How many things you got to go on? The auto industry, General Motors, Government Motors, you know, different financial institutions, the bailouts that they need now for the big banks in Europe, entire countries going, the effect it has on us, the demand for physical possession of precious metals. It goes on and on and on. Food, inflation of actual cost of commodities and goodies. So you can keep breathing in and out. This is what causes revolutions. If we can keep this one peaceful, that's cool. You know, I kind of had a semi-peaceful revolution in Russia. You know, I'm not sure how much of a, change or revolution they had, but it's sure as heck they, changed the guys wearing the shiny badges and changed the names of the shiny badges and restructured the bureaucracy of how they distributed shiny badges. You know, but still government stuff. But, they're in a better situation than we are. So this is what, Brewers Club proclamation for the special session calls on lawmakers to keep the extended benefits by changing a formula in state law. She also wants to make two minor changes in state law to tighten job search requirements for recipients of extended benefits, blah, blah, blah. Tinkering around the edges, turning dials, flipping switches. How much can we control it? Doesn't change the fundamentals. You know, and while all this is going on, we still got, these war things going on. What happens? Here we have Al Jazeera English, Iraq to request U.S. troops to stay. Well, of course they are, because the troops are what keeps them in power. And if they, even if they did get rid of the troops, what happens? It's all this private mercenary Blackwater thing. They're hiring over 5,000 private mercenaries to replace a lot of this stuff. Heck, we learned months ago, Hillary Clinton wanted to have her own private army for the State Department, her own little special forces for the State Department. You know, Hillary's goons for the State Department. I'm going, and now she wants to be head of the World Bank. She's throwing her hat in. Put me in head of the World Bank. Yeehaw, Clinton's in head of the World Bank. I mean, who'd have thought that was ever even been possible? Certainly Hillary. So I'm just going, wow, man, these guys, it's almost comical if it wasn't so tragic. The philosophy of we know how to redistribute the planet's wealth from each individual to the benefit of the planet. And then you got the UN talking about, a tree plant. I mean, this is just, it's craziness, craziness. Iraq will ask the U.S. to keep its troops in the country beyond the 2011 withdrawal deadline set by U.S. President Barack Obama. Leon Panetta, the White House's pick to lead the Pentagon, said. I am so not shocked, okay? It's clear to me, quote, it's clear to me, from Panetta, that Iraq is considering the possibility of making a request for some kind of troop presence to remain there. Panetta said, adding that he had every confidence the request would be forthcoming at some point. The outgoing CIA chief told the Senate Armed Services Committee on Thursday that the U.S. should agree once the request is made. Counting on the Senate? Bunch of Tea Party guys going to save us? Are they? Or are we going to keep extending it? We're going to be in Iraq forever. Oh, did you think it was going to be any other way? We'll be right back.
And now, live from the studios of Freedom's Phoenix, Ernest Hancock.
It's some factual information that we can check there on Freedoms of the Nest, freedomsphoenix.com, here and declare your independence. Find out, well, it's what? Because I'm, a lot smarter people than me. I just smart enough to know that they're smarter and put them up. Know what I mean? That's what we do. Now, the housing thing, I can go on and on and on about it, but the bottom line is this. Courts are starting to rule that the transfer of these properties was not done in such a way to give the banks and different entities the ability to foreclose on them. So you have these spotty court decisions that's going on around the country. Well, they're kind of holding back. They already got the attorney generals from each of the states sitting around doing what kind of negotiating. I'm sure it comes down to some personal stuff they can get taken care of. I know these guys, man. They are definitely political machines, and ew. If we have to count on them, certainly the ones that I know, damn, we be in heap trouble. But, you know, in the end, you know, sooner or later, somebody's going to say, you know, it's ours now, and now what? They're going to get stuck with it, and they're going to have to liquidate it one way or another into the market, unless the government wants to be the landlord for everybody, which wouldn't surprise me. You want your welfare benefits? Here's a house. I'll be your landlord. Uncle Sam, Uncle Obama, is going to be your landlord. You know, don't laugh, man. I've seen less strange things happen. So here we go. There's this county register deeds or your county recorders around the country. It's becoming pretty clear that they're just making this stuff up as they go along. What is going to be the big fix? They're going to have to try and force a federal central plan solution that the attorney generals are going to enforce state by state. But each state's a little different. Sometimes the executive branch, the governor's got to be on board, or the people have the power of referendum or initiative or petition. You know, to get a referendum on the ballot in Oklahoma only takes 5,000 signatures to get something up for a vote. That's what I remember back in the mid-90s. We did our kind of citizen grand jury thing based on what they did. They can call all kinds of stuff up to get enough signatures. So this is, it's still the people are, you know, what happens when you got that one state that's real willing to come up against a man, you know, be it, you know, like Chuck Baldwin's taking over Montana, you know, or you have some people in a state that can do this, like Oklahoma, or you got Wyoming, you know, the free state west, or New Hampshire, or something. They're just kind of, yeah, you know, let's go ahead and put a little monkey wrench in this. We'll get this issue discussed. Then what? Federal government comes in and says, nope, not prudent at this juncture. National defense, national security issue. That's right. And national interest, national, national, national. You know, it's amazing to me when they have these, all these national things. They go, in the national interest of, that has something to do with it other than an individual. Let me tell you what national interest, protect my individual rights, that's your national interest. If it's other than that, didn't Thomas Jefferson say something about altering and abolishing? I mean, you're just already giving up. Okay, so that's what we can look forward on that. And we have that story up on Freedom's Phoenix. Also, we got the Dagong Rating Agency is in China. And I'll just read a couple of quotes here from Zero Hedge. And we got up on top Freedom's Phoenix. The soundbite of the day comes from AFP, which quotes the infamous Chinese rating agency Dagong, known for being a little too truthy, which told state media Global Times what everyone already knows but is afraid to say out loud. In our quote, in our opinion, the United States has already been defaulting. Washington has already defaulted on its loans by allowing the dollar to weaken against other currencies, eroding the wealth of creditors, including China, Mr. Guan said. Oddly enough, this contradicts Tim Geithner's heartfelt appeal that the U.S. is pursuing a strong dollar policy by expanding the money supply. People just laugh at him. In fact, that's what happened. When the Obama administration first came in, remember Geithner went to China? He's explaining it to him? And then they all just started laughing at him. They're like, seriously? We read the dollar meltdown, man. It was in Chinese. So this is, you know, it's just not going to, it's not flushing. This is all for public consumption for the perfect cheer people on CNBC, and it doesn't matter, because the people that they're appealing to, the people that got some of their 401k or their money market or they're invested still with, or they whatever, I'm not even sure who they're appealing to. You know, the what's his face on Mad Money, you know, what's that, Kramer, what a piece of work that guy is. I know a lot of people, they go, oh, you gotta watch this guy. I'm going, wow, man, are you taking this guy's advice, man? This is dangerous. I mean, I'd say whatever, but I'm going, I don't, whatever. I mean, you're never going to, I do my best. But anyway, so the thing is that they're just a perfect cheer for where they want you to put your money or to have even faith in the system, or we're at the bottom and buy in and get and do and whatever. I've seen it happen over and over. Certainly it happened here in Arizona when you had the local media going, no, this is the bottom, keep buying, No, you got, while they're all their advertisers in their newspaper were the developers that were selling all the stuff, they were screaming for you to buy. And then all of a sudden the bottom drops out when we're screaming, don't go in the market now. It was unsustainable. At the peak, 40% of the homes for sale in Phoenix were vacant. Vacant. Nobody lived in them. You know, and the demand is what? It was all speculative buying. It was because it was, you know, cheaper than California or something. I mean, I it was people, you know, the shoeshine guys got a house with a pool. Okay. All right. You know, this is hindsight's good, but I tell you, it's even better. You can get it up front and you sit there and you tell people, and then they're just mad that you even told them. Then later they go, well, I don't remember you saying that. I got archives. Yeehaw. One of the benefits of Freedom's Phoenix. You go to Freedom's Phoenix, at the top of the page, you'll see it says archives. And there's also a button where it goes archives. It has a drop down and it says, fourth one down, newsletter archives. You go there, every one of our email dispatches, you know, a lot of them are twice a day, a morning and afternoon. We have so much stuff. You go there and you just look at some date around like now. You know, China, in the years from now, you're going to go, when was that? Let's go look at the week on Freedom's Phoenix of what the stories that were up then at that time. All the stories, all the wars, all the threats, all the, we got, you know, here comes Iran. I mean, you know, there's all this stuff in context. You do that and you go, yeah, I get it. I have an understanding. Well, that's one of the arguments that they're making about we need to, you know, Panetta is going, you know, we need to have the United States Congress approve us staying in Iraq. And what's one of the reasons? It really is dependent on the prime minister and on the government of Iraq to present to us what is it that they need. And over that period of time, in order to make sure that the gains that we've made in Iraq are sustained, Panetta told the committee, whatever the heck that means. Outgoing U.S. Defense Secretary Robert Gates has publicly suggested that Iran is another reason to keep U.S. forces in Iraq. That was the whole reason we went into Iraq. You know, it's because we wanted to. Next is Iran, okay? You know, Iraq, there's all kinds of reasons. Because we never stopped bombing them to begin with. That was one thing from the first Gulf War. The other thing is that, you know, Saddam, you know, wouldn't be our boy enough, I guess. And they had this idea that they wanted to go to a gold-based dinar, or in the process of that, away from the U.S. petrodollar and go into euros. Oh, that, man, that sealed his fate right there. I mean, that's kind of a JFK thing. You start messing with the money, you wake up dead. So this is, you know, here we go. Iran, of course. Now, the one thing that's interesting is we also had some links to all this Bilderberger thing going on in Switzerland. So we have, I think it's Switzerland, whatever, I don't care. So you have the Bilderberger thing going on. Well, they leaked the list of all the guys that are there. Well, who's not there? There's nobody from Israel. I mean, there is, but I mean, you know, you don't have, you know, Israel, the 15 gazillion guys from America, Israel's interest is taken care of, don't worry about it. But the thing is that, you know, you got the list there, and it's interesting, you know, what they already know what's coming. They already know what's going to happen. They're just positioning themselves like Goldman Sachs to be the bottom of the funnel. As this thing falls down, it's going to eventually wind up with the pipeline going somewhere. You know, the plumbing, you flush this economy down, the sewage goes somewhere. So it has some value somewhere. Somebody's going to get it. Well, guess what? It ain't going to be you. It's going to be them. They, them, those. Those won't leave us alone. Think it's more complicated than that? It's not. And you just take a look at how they structure this thing as it implodes. I'm so not shocked. So here we have Panetta. He's going over to, a new department. I don't know why they shift these guys around, Pentagon and CIA and whatever. I don't even know what their game plan is. But their thing is they're worrying about, you know, we may need another false flag. You know, the people aren't on board, man. They're starting to, you know, this Libya thing's costing a lot of money. We got to start getting, you know, take care of business. You know, why are we there? We're expanding that. Oh, you want to go Yemen now? You know, we just had guests on from Yemen saying, yeah, the U.S. are good guys, man. It's all taken care of now. We're being good. you know, siding with the people. Would they say that now? And would they side with the Saudi Arabian people? Well, they found out that we had a story yesterday on Saudi Arabia. They spent $7,000 in, like, hand out checks to all the citizens of Saudi Arabia. Say, here, stay home. It was cheaper for them just to pay off the peoples. They said, here's, you know, so many billions of dollars, like 100 billion or something. It was a lot. And it, there was enough that they people went, thank you very much. Thanks for sharing. You know, we won't go in the street today. But what happens when you have hyperinflation hits the planet? What happens when food is, and you're in a freaking desert? You know, this is going to get interesting. It's going to be very, very interesting. Now, when we come back in the last segment, I'm going to go ahead and play this other China relations, sweet and sour, depending on, you know, what your policy needs are. That is a gentleman that was interviewed yesterday or today on China-U.S. relations. I still want to make sure I get enough of these in so that you know how important it is, what's going to come out of that today. And it's not that what's going to come out of it. It's just the BS that they're going to be slinging and, you know, who's agreed to say what from the podiums at the end of this thing. What's happened's already happened. It's just how they're going to spin it. Just spin. Just, you can hear the top one. There's Adam Smith is spinning in his grave. You hear that whirring sound? That's the spinning. So here we go. They're going to agree to what this side's going to say and what they're going to say, but it has nothing to do with what's really going on. And what's really going on is the municipalities and the states and everybody is, oh, we had our connection. I guess we'll get it with the archive. Now we have our connection going out. Let's see. Do we got it back? Ah, we lost a connection. But you can do it in archive. We got the archive. So what we'll go ahead and do is I'll go ahead and cut it off here. And we'll go into a break and keep this section, and we'll try and reestablish with the network. And I wanted you to hear this piece on Russia Today, more about China, because this is going to be a, you know, you can read between the lines, and we'll do that next week, of course, but the market's going to answer. Doesn't matter what they say. We'll be right back here on Declare Your Independence in just a little bit. All right, cool. Back. Hello. Sorry. Is it on? We're good. Yay! We got the connection back. You know, it's good that doesn't happen that often. Yeah, I was yakking during the break. You know, I didn't get the music back. So what we'll go ahead and do is on the archive, you'll make sure you get all the great and important, wonderful stuff that I had to say. Because, of course, it was probably great, wonderful. Go ahead and talk to Mike, see what he has to say. So what we're going to do is play this RT piece. I want to make sure you get this because this China relations thing is just not going to stop. It's not going to go away. So let's go ahead and do this, and then we'll get all our technical issues taken care of.
Discuss U.S.-China relations, Raymond Lotta, author of America in Decline. He's also a contributor to the Revolution newspaper and a longtime analyst of Maoist and post-Maoist China. I want to thank you so much for joining us today. So much to talk about with these talks. But first, I want to ask you if they matter. It's kind of the same talking points you hear between the U.S. and China and have for a while. We know that they're kind of locked together in this economic song and dance. Is anything going to come out of these talks?
Well, I think that there's a lot of honeyed phrases being bandied about, but it's important for viewers to understand that there are escalating geopolitical and geoeconomic tensions between the U.S. and China, and those tensions are rooted in profound shifts in the world economy, alluded to by your previous segment. And this shift in the balance of power in the world economy is exacerbated by the economic crisis that kicked in 2008 and a faltering economy. And there's now intensifying and scrambling competition for energy supplies and raw materials. So this is really the backdrop for these talks. And the U.S. is seeking to reassert its dominance, and China is seeking to carve out a growing geopolitical, geoeconomic space in the world system, because China has emerged in the last decade as a major global economic power, is now the second largest economic power and the largest holder of foreign exchange reserves. And the U.S. is seeking to counter that and has been, you know, through the reassertion, as I said, of its strategic dominance in East Asia and by calling China to account for various economic policies that it finds injurious to its interest, while the Chinese are seeking to penetrate more deeply into various parts of the world economically and geopolitically and militarily.
Couple things here. Who has the upper hand then? The United States, which has chosen to continue funding its military to the step of six times what China does, or China, which has invested more in infrastructure and, you know, the United States goes into a country, occupies it, China goes in and buys up all their resources. Who has the better strategy here?
Well, I mean, there's each of these powers, as I said, you know, the U.S. still remains the dominant power in the world economically. It's still the financial glue of the world imperial system. And it is still the political military guarantor of the contemporary world economic order, which for the time being is of benefit to the great powers. But China is posing a real strategic challenge. And in the Department of Defense surveys, or you look at the WikiLeaks, you see that the U.S. imperial leadership definitely regards China as a strategic competitor. And China, on the other hand, is pursuing its own strategy relative to the fact that the U.S. is still economically and militarily dominant. The Chinese, which I must emphasize, China is a capitalist society, a capitalist economy since the counter-revolution of 1976. It is an emergent imperial power, and its strategy is one in which it's A, seeking to expand and diversify its domestic economic base, especially technological upgrading. B, it's seeking to extend its international economic and financial reach. And C, it's seeking to enhance its strategic military capabilities, you know, building up its military forces and extending its regional ties in East Asia and beyond.
So but then really so quickly, and I'm so sorry to break in here, but we only have such a limited amount of time, then given your line of thinking, following that logic, is China the threat that some United States analysts and officials say that it is in order to justify more military spending, for example?
Look, the United States is seeking to preserve its dominance in the world, which is based on, you know, wars and super exploitation and the control over people's lives. And China is an emergent imperial power, which, as I said, has a certain strategy. But right now, that strategy doesn't, you know, lead them to direct showdown with the United States. But both of these powers, you know, are doing things that are not in the interest of the people of the world. And I think when the U.S. talks about China, the U.S. mainstream media and the leadership, Obama, Clinton, their statements about being back in Asia or the U.S. being involved in an international struggle, battle for influence, as Clinton has said, with China. This is all about preserving their great power interest at the expense of the people of the world.
A lot more than just the sound bites that you hear at the podium at this summit. We'll have to wait and see, too, who has the upper hand economically speaking with the issue of the currency, China's currency being key on the table, as well as the U.S. debt and deficits. That was Raymond Lotta, author of America in Decline. He's also a contributor to Revolution Newspaper and a longtime...
Now, what I wanted to make sure that you guys understand is that this is going to be a new James Bond movie. And it's going to be From China with Love. You know, this is the Cold War, the corporate wars, the economic wars, or whatever war, to think that it's not going to be clandestine. I mean, it's going to be this espionage. You know, we did it with Europe. And I remember when you had, what do they call them, members of parliament would say, United States, we know you're doing Carnivore and Echelon and all this surveillance stuff on transmissions and communications in Europe to get an edge on bidding for different contracts and doing whatever. You're using the United States surveillance community, your intelligence, the government, for corporate interests. Well, yeah. What did you think was going on? You didn't know that the United States government was a corporation working for by the corporations? I give you Goldman Sachs. So this is going to get more and more intrigue. It's going to be more interesting as we get in, and you're going to have the 007 spy thriller born Jason Statham, whatever guy is going in, where China is going to be the bad guy or heroes or whatever, as they're doing assassinations, as they get surveillance on, you know, deals, communications, moles. It's all going to be about business. It's going to be about business interest. It's going to be about money. It's going to be about contracts of the country. It's going to be about deals. Who controls? We went through this during the Cold War. We went through this with the Soviet Union, the Eastern Bloc, the Iron Curtain, who's on what side. None of this just everybody gets to compete in a free market kind of thing. You know how much cheaper it is? Think, I did this calculation. It cost $130. This is when oil first hit. It was $30, $40, and it went to $75. And people freaked out. Oh, it's going to break 100. Oh, my goodness. So what did we do? I said, you know, I want to know how much it's going to cost us per barrel to go get cheap oil, okay? It was $130 in military spending, veterans benefits, disabilities from people that got from the Iraq War, just the Iraq. And I go like this. I said, and I don't know if I included Afghanistan at the time. It was $130 a barrel above the cost of the oil for us to go get cheap oil. Who does that benefit? You know, the guy selling the oil. You know, we're subsidizing them getting, you know, that's how our oil got underneath their sand kind of crap. Well, this is going on worldwide right now, and China been doing this for thousands of years, and I think we're at a disadvantage, especially since we're the one that got the money lent to us by China. I got chickens. Oh, man. You guys think about it. We'll talk about more next week, because by this week and Monday might be interesting. You're going to be looking at the stock market, the mail. I don't know how they're going to patch this over and what the spin doctor is going to do with the information this meeting with China and U.S. now. But Monday, we may know a whole different world. Won't happen all at once, but it may just happen overnight. Uncovering the secrets and exposing the lies. That's what readers of freedomsphoenix.com get every day. Readers of freedomsphoenix.com are constantly provided the information that detail the real news between the lines of propaganda about government policies and the true relationship we all have with coercive governments. Learn the true condition of our economy, innovations and technological breakthroughs in energy, health, computer science, and space travel. Learn the truth well before it's admitted to in the lamestream media, the media that is so last century. Corporate media has evolved into nothing more than distributors of government propaganda, but we now have a fantastic alternative. FreedomsPhoenix.com provides constant news updates on the issues that affect our lives in the most important ways. Our liberty and our property are under constant attack, and FreedomsPhoenix.com provides the understanding behind the propaganda while encouraging the participation of our readers. Join us at FreedomsPhoenix.com. That's Freedoms with an S, Phoenix.com. FreedomsPhoenix.com, where the revolution between the ears has already matured. Tour.